This is Jay Sekulow. CIA operatives denied request for help during the Benghazi attack, despite the fact the president said he did everything he could to beef up security.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Our initial information, and that includes all information, we saw no evidence to back up claims by others that this was a pre-planned or premeditated attack. That it was, we saw evidence that it was sparked by the reaction to this video. And that is what we know thus far, based on the evidence, concrete evidence, not supposition, concrete evidence that we have thus far.
When it comes to this issue, when I say that we are going to find out exactly what happened, everybody will be held accountable, and I am ultimately responsible for what's taking place there, because these are my folks, and I'm the one who has to greet those coffins when they come home. You know that I mean what I say.
This is all a path of lies. And that's one thing, as a father whose son was killed, I do not appreciate lies. I do not appreciate cowardice, and I do not appreciate lies.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And breaking news, of course, on Friday that we've been following over the weekend, and that is CIA operatives were denied requests for help during the Benghazi attacks. Now, Fox News is the ones who started reporting this. They had learned that during the Benghazi attacks, a CIA annex, which had military backup, was about a mile away from the U.S. consulate, and they had a request for help not once, not twice, but three times, and each time these Navy SEALs and the other CIA operatives there were told to stand down. That means to not proceed. Now, this is despite the fact that the President of the United States, in the second debate with Governor Romney, said he was doing everything he could to secure that facility. Take a listen to this.
As soon as we found out that the Benghazi consulate was being overrun, I was on the phone with my national security team, and I gave them three instructions. Number one, beef up our security and procedures, not just in Libya, but in every embassy and consulate in the region. Number two, investigate exactly what happened, regardless of where the facts lead us, to make sure that folks are held accountable and it doesn't happen again. And number three, we are going to find out who did this and we are going to hunt them down. Because one of the things that I've said throughout my presidency is, when folks mess with Americans, we go after them.
Well, here's the problem. We now have it confirmed, at least from, this is from Lieutenant Colonel Wood and others, that in fact a CIA operative team was within a mile away. In fact, a couple of the CIA operatives went ahead anyways, even though they were told to stand down. When they arrived at the consulate, they exchanged gunfire and tried to remove the remaining people that were left. Of course, Ambassador was already either dead or on his way to the hospital. This is a horrible situation, Fan. It's unfolding hour by hour, drip by drip. What is going to happen in Washington? What impact is this going to have on the election?
You want to talk about horrible, Jay. We've already talked about those emails that the White House received at about 10:05 Libya time. This actually is about 25 minutes before that, that the CIA obviously knew that the embassy was under attack. Listen, Saxby Chambliss has said he's going to look into this. He said that November 15th is the date. Jay, that's got to happen sooner than this. These four people were dead, and the D.C., the CIA, and the White House knew about it as it was happening, and 6 hours later, more people died.
We're going to play some of the statements from the father of the former Navy SEAL, Tyrone Woods, who, of course, was killed on September 11th in Benghazi. This is a horrible situation, folks, and the ramifications for the White House, for the country, are significant, to say the least. Let me do tell you one other thing that we've got going right now, and I'm happy to report this. We are approaching 200,000 signatures on our petition to stop funding these radical groups like the Muslim Brotherhood. Why are we doing that? Why is the president still insisting to release $1.2 billion to the Islamic-led Muslim Brotherhood? Well, we're stopping that. We're working aggressively. We need your help. If you haven't signed that petition to stop funding these radical groups and radical nations, then you need to do so right now. Go to ACLJ.org or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Sign that petition now, 877-989-2255.
At a time when America faces serious challenges abroad, there's a new push on Capitol Hill, a call to put the brakes on U.S. funding for Egypt, a request from congressional leaders to place a hold on nearly $500 million to a country where real questions remain about whether Islamic terrorists are at the controls of the new government there. This comes as Congress holds hearings to find the truth behind the security collapse in Libya, where terrorists believed to be al-Qaeda assassinated our ambassador and three other Americans. The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, if you haven't signed on to that petition to stop funding these groups with our taxpayer dollars, do so at aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. Now, we know there were three requests for assistance given to the CIA Operations Center, which was only a mile away from the Benghazi consulate. Now, here's what happened. A security officer actually had a laser, this is according to Fox News, on a target that was firing. He repeatedly requested backup support from what's called a Spectre gunship, which is used by U.S. Special Operation Forces, again, according to Fox News, to provide support to Special Operation teams on the ground. They were denied. While they had a target in their sights, additional help was denied. Now, the reaction from the father of the slain Navy SEAL Tyrone Woods has been dramatic, as you can imagine. Listen to number 7.
In real time, the White House, from minutes after the first bullet was fired, they watched my son. They denied his pleas for help. My son violated his orders in order to protect the lives of at least 30 people. He risked his life to be a hero. I wish that the leadership in the White House had that same level of moral courage and heroism that my son displayed with his life.
Folks, this ramifications of this, let me tell you something, are really very significant and very sobering, because not only did we lose 4 U.S. citizens, people that were serving our country, but the White House is so complacent in this and so at risk for their inaction that this lack of leadership, I think, is going to have grave, grave Election Day results. I really think this is a very difficult situation for the Obama administration, especially since so far their responses, Fan, have been so not only pathetic, but really nonchalant.
Jay, they've not been true is what they've been. I mean, this is former Navy SEAL Tyrone Woods, and listen to what he did. He ignored orders. He went a mile to the embassy. He rescued Sean Smith from the embassy, who was already dead. He could not find the ambassador. He returned to the annex, Jay, and for 4 hours, he and his comrades took fire and called for backup, and D.C. told them no. And then, Jay, the president and his team went out and said this was about a YouTube when Tyrone Woods was dead.
And they were watching it in real time. We know we have also the emails going to the from the consulate in from the embassy in Tripoli about the consulate in Benghazi. Again, Charles Wood, the father of former Navy SEAL Tyrone Woods, of course, lost his life serving his country valiantly. Here's what he had to say about the timeline of all this. Take a listen.
I'm an attorney. This may not meet the legal test of murder, but to me, that is not only cowardice, but those people who made the decision and and who knew about the decision and lied about it are murderers of my son. That's a very strong statement for me to make. But for their benefit, they need to clear their conscience. They need to stand up, and they need to change the direction of their lives.
I'll tell you something else. I was following this. Obviously, we're following it very closely. We just had the head of our Jerusalem legal office here at our offices and our media headquarters in the last few days discussing the situation in the Middle East, which is continuing to unfold. This situation, you know, basically a week and a day out from an election, is frankly incredible. And I think you have to realize and realize how misleading the president of the United States has been in this. To me, it's unbelievable. Do you remember the indignation that he had during the debate? Listen to number 28.
The suggestion that anybody in my team, whether the Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do. That's not what I do as president. That's not what I do as commander-in-chief.
What I find offensive is that there were three calls, not one, not two, but three calls for backup assistance from a CIA operations center 1 mile away from the consulate, and they were told to stand down, Mr. Commander-in-Chief of the United States. So with all this righteous indignation, Than, coming from the president, frankly, and now the facts coming out, it's astonishing to me. Before, you know, they blame it on the video. Now we've got the cables and the emails saying, no, this was an organized attack, and we know who did it, and that was the same day of the event. Then we find out they're watching it in real time. Then we know there's a drone that's showing them exactly what's happening on the ground. There's three calls for assistance, and the president of the United States staff does nothing. There's going to be political consequences for this.
Yet no question about it. Before now, Jay, this sure smelled fishy. It sure smelled bad. But now we've got the facts. Now we know that this administration knew in real time very specific details about what was happening. And yet, Jay, time and time again for 2 weeks in front of the UN, on Univision, on The View, on David Letterman, this president went out and said this was about YouTube. This president tried to blame someone other than terrorists. Jay, that puts additional Americans at risk. That is not acceptable.
Absolutely incredible to me. All right, we're going right to our phones. Charles is calling from Georgia. He's online, too. Hi, Charles. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, when Saxby Chambliss holds these hearings, Intelligence Committee hearings, if it turns out that the people that are interviewed prove that Obama was involved in suppressing any kind of help going to the ambassador or the State Department, if they actually actively suppressed it, what kind of charges will be levied against Secretary of State?
It's a good question, Charles. And, of course, you know, we've got the elections a week away, so a lot of that's going to play into the electoral situation. But let me tell you this. I think these hearings are going to be serious. Again, part of it's going to be the political situation at the time. They're not going to have the hearings now, Than. They're going to be closed. We know that. And they're looking at, what is it, November 16th, I think, middle of November, yeah, when they're talking about doing this. So the election will be over. But I think the consequences of this, Charles, are going to be serious. I think the reality is you're going to see a situation develop where we're going to have additional information. It's coming out every day, folks. I mean, every day we think we're going to go to, you know, another topic, or there's going to be something else. Something like this hits. Of course, this one, dramatic. Remember the embassy saying first that when they first sent out those emails, they said that the concern was that they thought there was attack was going on because of Christian proselytizing going on inside the consulate management and leadership. Then we got the actual emails where they said exactly what was going on in real time. Then we found out the administration was watching it in real time and refused to allow three times backup assistance that was 1 mile away while they knew that these former Navy SEALs were being killed. I mean, murdered. And as Charles Wood, the father of the slain Navy SEAL Tyrone Woods, former SEAL, who was there, of course, in Benghazi, said, you know, it may not meet the legal definition of murder, but it sure was. Negligent is an understatement, and ramifications of this, folks, are unreal. Andy Card, who served as the chief of staff under George W. Bush, was interviewed by Megyn Kelly. This is what he had to say, number eight.
The descriptions are very credible. I think the White House Situation Room would have known all of this, and they would have had kind of real-time information to share with the president, the national security advisor, the head of Homeland Security, the chief of staff, obviously the vice president and the secretary of defense. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, I'm sure, was made very aware of everything that was going on. I just can't believe we have these two true patriots that kept saying they wanted to go help the ambassador and they were denied it. And then when they needed help for themselves, they were denied it.
I mean, do you realize what happened here, folks? three attempts for assistance, and the White House response is no. Three times. The president is responsible for this. There's no doubt about it. We're going to Don. He's calling in New York. He's on line three. Hi, Don.
Hi. I'm a retired Marine Corps officer.
Thank you for your service.
You're very welcome, sir. But one of the sources I listen to is Glenn Beck TV and his radio show.
Yep.
Anyway, one of the things he alleges is that the president did, in fact, make a decision not to send help.
You know, it's interesting, Than, and it's very interesting. And, Don, again, thanks for your service to our country. The reality is that is now confirmed, at least confirmed through Fox News sources. What I know Saxby Chambliss has been very aggressive on this issue. What are you hearing in Washington right now, Than, as the, we're a week out from the election? I know a lot of campaigning going on, but how this issue is playing out in the body politic in Washington?
Jay, I think a lot of what the Intelligence Committee are going to pursue is exactly this new information that's coming out. Tyrone Woods requested permission to go help the ambassador at the embassy, and then later he requested backup for himself when he was taking mortar fire for 4 hours, was later killed by that mortar fire. I think, Jay, when that Intelligence Committee meets, what they're going to ask is, that we know the CIA chain of command denied those requests. How far up the ladder did that get? Who denied that security? Who left him alone to die? And, Jay, the president sits at the top of that chain of command, so he's ultimately responsible, the question they're going
to
ask.
You know, Thad, I want people to think about this. I want you, everybody that's home listening to this right now, think about this. 4 hours, there's a gunfight going on. We're watching it in real time. We have an opportunity to send CIA operatives that are 1 mile away. We've got Americans being killed, and we do nothing. Zero. The president, through his staff, issues a stand-down order. Do not go. Now, some of these guys, these heroes, violated that stand-down order and ended up losing their life. But that's the fact of the matter. That is what was going on here. And I think the reality is that the lack of understanding by the administration on this, folks, is palpable. We're taking a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. But let me encourage you to do something. Right now, we have got a situation where the president, with all of this going on, is trying to get $1.2 billion of our taxpayer money released to the Muslim Brotherhood, the jihadist-led Islamic organization that's running Egypt, so they can buy weaponry from Germany to use against guess who? Israel. That's what we're really dealing with here, folks, and that's why we're fighting back. We want to say no, stop this funding, and so far we're winning, but that's where we need your help. This is what we're going to do. You go to your phones right now and you sign on to this petition. Let's speak out on this. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. We sure don't need to be borrowing money from China to give it to the Muslim Brotherhood. These are the groups that are doing these attacks on the United States. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
At a time when America faces serious challenges abroad, there's a new push on Capitol Hill, a call to put the brakes on U.S. funding for Egypt, a request from congressional leaders to place a hold on nearly $500 million to a country where real questions remain about whether Islamic terrorists are at the controls of the new government there. This comes as Congress holds hearings to find the truth behind the security collapse in Libya, where terrorists believed to be Al-Qaeda assassinated our ambassador and three other Americans. The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255.
That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is what Hillary did. She came over and, you know, she did the same thing, you know, separately came over to and talked with me. I gave her a hug, shook her hand, and she was did not appear to be one bit sincere at all. And, you know, she mentioned that thing about we're going to have that person arrested and prosecuted that did the video. That was the first time I'd even heard about anything like that.
Blaming the video. We now know that the president's staff denied three times requests for assistance as the gunfire was going on. To me, it's absolutely incredible. And that's why we're talking about this issue and working so aggressively. Again, folks, we want to fight back and fight back aggressively. We want to make sure that this $1.2 billion of our money is not released to the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, we're very close to 200,000 signatures. Go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Janice is calling from Hawaii. She's on line 4. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for all you do.
Sure.
The facts that you're presenting, the damning proof that's available is this administration is responsible for these deaths. Why do you suppose Governor Romney didn't make more of an effort to blow this out?
Well, I think in hindsight, I mean, I was one of the ones who thought maybe it should have been hit a little bit harder in the debate, but I think in hindsight, the Governor Romney was absolutely right, and that was because as the facts are unfolding and you've got this scandal brewing in Washington right now, it's gotten worse each day. So by not addressing it head on, so to speak, although I will say Governor Romney set forth a very different vision of how he would have the Middle East. And let's take a listen to that clip in a moment here where Governor Romney sets forth his view of how the Middle East should be done. But I think, Than, it's important for people to understand this thing is unfolding over the last 2 weeks now, and it's become unbelievable. So anything you would have said a week ago could have been mooted out by these unfortunate subsequent events.
Yeah, Jay, if Governor Romney had really engaged aggressively on the debate, and I'm with you, at the time I thought he should have done so, but this would have become a story about the campaign. It would have become a political story, but instead, now the president has to answer why he ignored the fact that this embassy was bombed twice in advance, why he denied assistance, why he denied security during the attack. I think by Governor Romney not really saying anything, this leaves it in the commander-in-chief's court, really, Jay, where it's got
to
be.
Let's take a listen to what Governor Romney said during the debate regarding his view on how jihadists should be handled and the situation in the Middle East.
We're going to have to put in place a very comprehensive and robust strategy to help the world of Islam and other parts of the world reject this radical, violent extremism, which is, it's certainly not on the run. It's certainly not hiding. This is a group that is now involved in 10 or 12 countries, and it presents an enormous threat to our friends, to the world, to America long term, and we must have a comprehensive strategy to help reject this kind of extremism.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jason's calling from Texas. He's on line 5. Hi, Jason.
Hey, good day, sir. I want to thank you for your hard work. You are a true patriot. My question is, why is the president being allowed to do this? Not only are we trillions of dollars in debt that I hear, but he wants to give all that money we don't have to our enemies.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things going on here. I think, you know, politically, they were hoping this Benghazi thing was not going to explode like it did. But they actually sent a couple weeks back Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, out to talk with members of Congress. And, Than, she was saying basically give this money without condition or we lose control and leverage in the region.
Yeah, which is, of course, ridiculous because the money that you're giving them is the leverage. That's why we put conditions on it in the first place. And remember, there's two tiers to this, Jay. There's the existing money that Egypt was already getting that Secretary Clinton has just been waiving those conditions arbitrarily for. And now, Jay, there's this new $1.2 billion that the administration doesn't want to put any conditions on in the first place. So they don't have to do anything to get it. They just take it and they use it however they want to.
All right, folks, that's one of the reasons, again, we're fighting to make sure this money is not released. It's our money. It's $1.2 billion. You go to aclj.org, sign that petition if you haven't already done so, or go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton dealt with this issue. He hit it exactly correct now. This was a few days ago, but as we play it now, you realize how right Ambassador Bolton has been on this whole issue, number 21.
I believe the ideology explanation is the most powerful because it also explains why they refused repeated requests for security enhancements for the embassy in Tripoli and the consulate in Benghazi before September the 11th. They just didn't want to acknowledge that al-Qaeda was resurgent in Libya because it undercut the storyline that the war on terror is over, al-Qaeda's on the run, the Arab Spring has been a success.
And I think what's happened here is the narrative that the White House was trying to paint on control of foreign affairs, and it was the President Obama's great idea for this Arab Spring, you remember, and he did that speech in Cairo, all of that comes forward. And the reality is, and I think this is what we have to understand now, the reality is that this has been not only a colossal failure, but we've had a failure right here on our own watch by the President of the United States as it relates to security and bringing in forces that were 1 mile away that could have saved American lives. I know they were trying to paint a narrative thin. I know they were trying to get in a position where it looked like things were normative in Libya. But the fact of the matter is the policies that have been enunciated are blowing up in front of us. And I hate using that word, but that's what's happened. It's exploding in front of us, and we're witnessing it right now.
Jay, there's no question about it. They put that political priority ahead of the security of the people on the ground in Libya. Remember, all of the other Western outposts in Libya, Jay, they were gone. They had left Benghazi. Even the Red Cross, who had been attacked twice, they had closed up and left shop. While they were leaving, Jay, we were not only staying, we were reducing security at our outpost. It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. I mean, you talk about a colossal failure of leadership, folks. I know we're, 8 days out from an election, but, colossal failure of leadership. Senator Lindsey Graham has also addressed this issue. He's been on our program. He was on Fox News recently, number 22.
The reason they do not want to admit it was a al-Qaeda-inspired militia attack that could be seen coming for months, it undercuts the narrative that by killing bin Laden, al-Qaeda's dismantled on the run, and the wars are receding. This is exhibit A of a failed foreign policy.
I think that's exactly correct. It bolsters what John Bolton had says, and it shows the failure of an administration that's dealing with these issues in, I think, a haphazard way at best. We're going right back to our phones. Rose is calling. She's on line six. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I just wanted to validate for you what you said earlier about Americans having rose-colored glasses on concerning Islamic and Islamic extremism. Based on personal experience of living amongst Arab and Arab Muslims for 12 years, there is no such thing as extremism in Islam. It's basically just based on levels of action, because all of the people that I was around, they all rejoiced every time there was a bombing or any kind of act of terrorism. They were all in support of it.
Well, unfortunately, that is the dominant view, at least in the Middle East version of Islam, and you're starting to see it more and more in the United States as well, and that's one of the reasons why, folks, we're doing these programs and bringing you this information. This is a horrible scenario that we're reporting on today with the confirmation that not once, not twice, but three times request for backup was denied, despite the fact that that backup was within a mile of our consulate, a mile away, while Americans were being shot. They were watching this in real time. There's political consequences for these kind of actions, folks. And I think there's a moral implication here that's significant. It's lack of leadership. And when you have a lack of leadership like this, the facts become significant and at times overwhelming. And the overwhelming fact is here, the president did not lead in this horrible, horrible event. And his protestations to the contrary, I think, are falling on silence right now. I don't think anybody's believing this. Folks, we want to make sure that we don't at the same time release this money that the president wants to go to the Muslim Brotherhood, the jihadist group running Egypt. So if you want to join with us on that, we encourage you to do so at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We're 1-877-989-2255.
The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.